period.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Good day, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could be with us today. We got all sorts of news, interviews, information to bring to you to help you in your fight to end adult marijuana prohibition wherever you might live. Unless that's Washington or Colorado, you already did that. Well, there's still a lot of work to do there, too, so we'll help you along with that. On today's show at half past, we have our guest from all the way across the pond. That's right, Greg DeHote from Normal UK will be joining us, giving us all sorts of insight on what's going on in Europe and the UK with respect to the end of adult marijuana prohibition and the activists there that are fighting for it. So check that out. Normal UK and Cannabis Social Clubs will be there with us at half past. At 45 past, I've got time for a radical rant. I've got an update on a rant that I did earlier about, Kevin Sabet and Project Sam and these drug warriors who keep saying that, oh, yeah, nobody's getting medical marijuana for cancer or AIDS. They're all just getting it for pain. I got some more updates from some more states. Their directors of their programs sent me some of the data. We'll go over that data in the radical rant today. Also today, more data. We're going to go behind the headlines because there's a big headline out today. You've probably already seen it about the 8 former administrators of the Drug Enforcement Agency there that have come out against marijuana legalization in Colorado and Washington, and they're trying to bully Attorney General Eric Holder into coming down hard on Washington and Colorado. We're going to take a look at the backgrounds of those 8 DEA administrators and give you some insight on why they might be so in opposition to the legalization of marijuana by adults. Also today is Electric Tuesday for our Daily Toker Tunes. I'm really excited about this one. We got a new video finally from our friends out there at Symphony of Science. This one is Secret of the Stars. It's just out. We'll be debuting it today here on 420radio.org. But before we get to all of that, we've got to get to our 420 radio news, all sorts of news today. Of course, that DEA head thing we talked about earlier, the Hawaii hemp bill has advanced to the Senate, a drug testing bill in West Virginia for welfare. Matt Riddle, the UFC fighter or former UFC fighter, has some interesting things to say about the mixed martial arts organization, and the Portland Greens in the state of Maine are fighting for legalization in the city of Portland. We'll talk about that and more and take more stories into hour two for Toker Talk Radio. It's Cannabis Community Radio right here on the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die? Calculated stars and
war. I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAgenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAgenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
It's time for the 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Former DEA heads asked to nullify Colorado and Washington marijuana laws. From the Huffington Post, eight former DEA chiefs said Tuesday that the federal government needs to act now or it might lose the chance to nullify Colorado and Washington's laws legalizing recreational marijuana use. The statement came on the same day a United Nations-based drug agency urged the U.S. government to challenge those laws, saying they violate international treaties. The one-time DEA heads issued joint statements saying the Obama administration has reacted too slowly and should immediately sue to force the states to rescind the legislation. One of the former DEA administrators, Peter Benzinger, told the Associated Press the day before that the more time that goes by, the harder it'll be to stop the two states. Marijuana is illegal under federal law. Hawaii hemp bill passes House, advances to the Senate. This from the dailychronic.net. A bill that would establish a two-year hemp pilot program in Hawaii has advanced to the Senate after passing unanimously on the floor of the House last week. If passed, House Bill 154 HD2 would allow the Board of Agriculture to establish a two-year industrial hemp research and biofuel crop pilot program. A primary focus of the proposed research would be phytoremediation, a process by which the hemp plant draws toxins out of the soil and processes them safely through its roots, stalk, branches, and leaves. House lawmakers passed an amended version of the original bill, which expands the research to include hemp's value as an alternative biofuel for Hawaii. Drug testing bill in West Virginia advances. At the Capitol, drug testing of welfare recipients is once again on the table, with the latest version being introduced in the Senate on Monday. But that may be as far as the bill goes. The bill, introduced in the Senate, has bipartisan support, with both Republicans and Democrats sponsoring the legislation. The bill proposes testing welfare applicants once they apply, randomly, and for probable cause. If recipients test positive for drugs, they would have 60 days to take a second test or get treatment. If they fail again, they would lose their state benefits for a year. The Senate bill also proposes drug testing lawmakers and those on unemployment. The House has also introduced a drug testing bill. Matt Riddle says drug test was fishy and would turn down an offer to return to the UFC. This from BleacherReport.com. Matt Riddle, the former UFC welterweight, who was dropped from the promotion last week after testing positive for marijuana for the second time in his career, said he is looking into whether the drug test he submitted was tainted. Riddle also said he believes the UFC was actively looking to release him. Riddle, who has a permit from the Nevada government to legally use medical marijuana, told broadcaster Ariel Helwani Monday on the MMA Hour that his drug test yielded some unexpected results. Riddle said, quote, "I find the test a little fishy. The test showed that there was creatine in my system. I haven't taken creatine since I was 16. I'm not going to say I was set up or anything like that yet. The state laws in Nevada say they can't actually fire someone for using medical marijuana. A lot of lawyers think I have a lawsuit for wrongful termination, but I'm not really trying to go that route," end quote. The 27-year-old welterweight echoed a sentiment widely observed by fans and pundits in the wake of his release that the UFC does not consistently enforce its drug testing policy. He used heavyweight slugger and fellow two-time marijuana test failer Dave Herman as an example. Quote, "Herman gets knocked out like three times in a row, fails two drug tests for weed, and he's still in the UFC," Riddle said. "I think that's very hypocritical," end quote. Riddle, 7-3-2, has not lost since September of 2011. If not for the two failed drug tests, he would be on a four-fight winning streak. Portland Greens pursue referendum to legalize marijuana in the city, from the Portland Press, Maine Sunday Telegram. If the state of Maine is allowed to ignore federal law when it comes to medical marijuana, can the city of Portland ignore state law when it comes to all marijuana? The Portland Green Independent Committee has begun collecting signatures for a referendum that would ask residents whether they want to legalize marijuana within city limits. The Greens are expected to propose legalizing the possession of up to 2.5 ounces, as well as possession of drug paraphernalia, such as bongs or pipes. That's your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the backgrounds and current occupations of the eight former DEA heads urging the Attorney General to nullify state marijuana legalization. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Medical marijuana right for you? When you are stricken by an illness, injury, or disability, you deserve to live your life as free from pain and suffering as possible. Modern medical researchers have developed some amazing pharmaceutical drugs, but these may not be the best solution for you. At Alternative Medical Choices, we help collect your medical records history and provide a physician's review and examination to help you qualify for the use of medical marijuana in Oregon and Washington State. Call 971-270-0262 or visit altmedchoices.com for more information and to schedule an appointment today. Alternative Medical Choices, because you deserve the best in healthcare.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
I think we're apart, man.
Take a little trip. Take a little trip. Take a little trip, Bessie.
All right, time for us to go behind the headlines. And the big headline today is those eight DEA heads that are urging the Attorney General to nullify marijuana legalization. They make a big stink about this. They did it prior to the election. They did it prior to Prop 19 in 2010. So we've heard the story before. What's interesting now, though, is that the administration is not jumping at their beck and call. Now, it is important to note that Attorney General Eric Holder is scheduled to appear tomorrow before a U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. So they're trying to pressure the senators on the Judiciary Committee to pressure Holder on what are they going to do about marijuana legalization. And Holder did issue a statement earlier that said that we will be hearing very soon what the feds plan to do about marijuana legalization. All sorts of options on the table, suing the states, for example, raids and so forth. But I thought it would be interesting to go through the laundry list here of these eight DEA heads that are calling for the basically nullification of the will of the voters in two states. And in Colorado, more voters that supported legalization of marijuana than supported Barack Obama's election by about 50,000 votes. So here they are. The first DEA head who's on this list is John Bartles. I'm going to say John Bartles. He was the first DEA head in 1973, and he's a board member for a company called Star Scientific Incorporated. Now, this company is, quote, engaged in the development of very low tobacco specific nitrosamines, non-fermented smokeless tobacco products, end quote. Now, this company, in addition to making these what they call modified risk tobacco products, right? When it keeps on tobacco, we're just going to make it safer, which I don't know if that's a bad thing, really. His company is researching, get this, tobacco-based pharmaceuticals. Seriously, tobacco-based pharmaceuticals for the treatment of, quote, tobacco dependence and a range of neurological conditions, including Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, schizophrenia, and depression, end quote. Now, why would he oppose legal marijuana? Oh, yeah, marijuana treats those conditions far better than anything from a tobacco plant would.
The next one, Peter Benzinger, who was quoted in the piece, he is the president and chief executive officer of Benzinger, DuPont & Associates, which sells EAP, or Employee Assistance Program, and consulting on drug-free workplaces. He was President Ford's appointment to head the DEA for 5.5 years, during which time Congress gave drug law enforcement the asset forfeiture powers they have today. Before that, he was the director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. Now, why would he oppose legal marijuana? Oh, yeah. Fewer people will be forced into EAP programs if getting caught with marijuana is not a crime. Francis Mullen is on the list. Francis Mullen ran the DEA from 1981 to 1985 for President Reagan. After that post, he became the director of the Mohegan Sun Casino and its Tribal Gaming Commission. I don't know if he's Native American. I don't know if that really even matters. Not much is available online on this guy since he resigned from the Casino Commission. But why would he oppose legal marijuana? Habit. The guy worked FBI before he worked for the DEA. He's lifetime law enforcement and can only see legal marijuana as a crime. John C. Lawn is on the list. John C. Lawn was the head of the DEA from 85 to 90 under Reagan and Bush Sr. When he left the post, he became an executive with the New York Yankees, although we really shouldn't hold that against him. And then, after that, he served various anti-drug organizations, so much that he earned a DEA Lifetime Achievement Award in 2010. Why would he oppose legal marijuana? Habit. He's a lifetime drug warrior. Even the DEA says so. Robert Bonner is the next fellow. Robert Bonner was the head of the DEA from 1990 to 93. He was also George W. Bush's head of the Customs Service from 2001 to 2005. And in that span, it became Customs and Border Protection. You know, post 9/11, it was folded into the new Department of Homeland Security. He's currently a partner in one of the biggest law firms in the world, defending Walmart, Apple, Facebook, Chevron, Amazon, NBC Universal, and the NFL Players Association, among many high-profile clients. Why would he oppose legal marijuana? Who knows? Maybe he's tired of getting confused with Dr. Bronner's hemp soaps. All right. Well, can't win them all. Thomas Constantine. He was the superintendent of the New York State of Police from 1986 to 94. During that time, he focused on drug crimes, boosting narcotics investigators from 75 to 400, and used asset forfeiture proceeds to build a state-of-the-art crime lab. He was the DEA head from 94 through 99 for Bill Clinton, and today he's a member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police on their executive committee, and he's the chairman of the International Association of Chiefs of Police Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs Committee. So why would he oppose legal marijuana? Well, when half of all your drug arrests for marijuana, that's half of your opportunity to seize assets to buy new cop toys. Who else we got here? Oh, Donnie Marshall. He was the DEA head who was the first to ever rise through the ranks from a lowly agent to becoming the director. He served from 99 to 2001. Why would he oppose legal marijuana? Well, again, habit. He's a lifetime DEA drug warrior. When drug arrests drop in half and the bulk of drugs they seize won't be seizable, what do you do with all those DEA agents and an over $2 billion budget? And finally, my favorite, Asa Hutchinson. He's the senior partner in Asa Hutchinson Law Group in Arkansas. He was appointed by George W. Bush in 2001 to head the DEA and left in 2003 to become the Undersecretary of Homeland Security. Now, he graduated from Bob Jones University in 1972, just 1 year after the school started admitting African Americans, but only if they were married. Single black people couldn't enroll until 1976, and interracial dating was banned until 2000, coincidentally because of the bad press from George W. Bush visiting the school for a campaign stop. His firm's clients include ALS Technologies, which make less than lethal weapons for cops, Biotech Pharmacal, which makes all sorts of nutraceuticals, Zila Enterprises Limited, which has many agribusiness holdings, and XE Services, Inc. You know them better as Blackwater, but actually they've just changed their name again to Academy. And they are the largest private army in the world. Now, why would he oppose legal marijuana? Well, Christ, law enforcement, pharmaceuticals, and agribusiness. He's just a portfolio of oil stocks away from the grand slam of legal pot's enemies. If you want to pick up the links to all of that stuff, all of it is all documented on RadicalRust.com. Former DEA heads urge Attorney General to nullify state marijuana laws. It's all about the money, people.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
My girlfriend thinks that I smoke too much pot. Which is crazy, because I think, on the other hand, that I don't smoke enough pot, because if I did, I would be finished, and I'm not. Look. We all have our vices in life, you know? I like to smoke a little weed. She likes to feed the baby. Different strokes for different folks, I say, huh? I'm like, look, get off my back. Isn't that your baby crying? Sorry, our baby. Blow a little weed on it. It'll sleep. Don't hiss. I'm just kidding. Like, I really have a girlfriend. Just a baby. It's weird.
Big Daddy thinks.
Boogie, rollerin, rollerin.
Oh, yeah. This is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Rink.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, I am excited about this next song because we've been following Melody Sheet is the name of the producer who's been making these videos, Symphony of Science. We go all the way back to the original one, The Glorious Dawn, which was basically a remix of Carl Sagan from the old Cosmos series. Those of our younger listeners out there, Cosmos series in 1980 popularized science for a whole generation. I was like 12 when I watched it, fell in love with the whole concept. And little did I know at that time, I didn't find out until later in life that Carl Sagan was a daily pot smoker, attributed a lot of his insight to the use of marijuana. So we will get to our song here. This is Symphony of Science. They got a new song out now, Secret of the Stars. And there's all sorts of free downloads and videos. You can get them by going to symphonyofscience.com. Let's get into it. This is The Secret of the Stars.
Say, do you like mystery stories? Well, we have one for you. The concept? Relativity. That strange, fantastic relationship between time, distance, and math. Before we're finished, I think you'll agree that truth is stranger than the strangest fiction.
Why do the stars shine? Why does the galaxy light up?
A equals MC squared. That lights up the stars. Energy turns into mass. E equals MC squared. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars.
Now listen carefully. The faster you move, the heavier you get. The energy of motion turns into M, your mass.
Energy of motion.
Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
Speed of light squared.
An awful lot of energy for a tiny amount of mass.
Light travels at the same speed, no matter how you look at it. No matter how I move relative to you, light travels at the same speed.
No matter who is doing the measurement,
And no matter what direction you are moving, the speed of light is the same. The speed of light is the same, no matter what direction or how fast.
As you travel faster, time slows down. Everything slows down. Everything slows down.
Time slows down when you move. Time passes at a different rate. Clocks run slow.
It's a monumental shift in how we see the world.
Majesty, the power of the universe into a single equation.
E equals mc squared.
That is the engine that lights up the stars.
Energy turns into mass.
E equals mc squared. That is the secret of the stars.
It's a beautiful piece of science. It's a beautifully elegant theory. It's a beautiful piece of science. It's a beautiful piece of...
A planet like the Earth is kept in orbit because it follows curves in the spatial fabric caused by the sun's presence.
Space and time are bent by stars and planets. As things move through this curved space, they bend.
Now, all of this is illustration of the fact that time and space are linked together.
As you're moving through bent and curved space and time, you feel like you feel a force.
You feel like you feel a force.
As you're moving through bent and curved space and time, you feel like you feel a force. That force is gravity.
The beauty, the majesty, the power of the universe into a single equation.
E equals mc squared.
That lights up the stars.
Energy turns into mass.
E equals mc squared. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars.
Get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Called a peace revolution, and now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. Next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. Just about half past the hour, and we're going through the telephone waves and the Skype and all of those technological marvels all the way across the pond to England. We have got Greg DeHote on the line. How you doing, Greg?
How's it going, Russ? I'm not too bad.
People may also know you as Cannabis Cure UK on the Twitter and the Facebook and throughout all of the intersphere, so get that out of the way. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I'm sorry I dip in and out of reach every now and then, but you know how it is.
You're a busy guy.
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yes, absolutely. It's like 11:30 your time, so we always appreciate when you come on and join us. There's just so many stories that have come across the news desk, even over here on the West Coast, that I wanted to ask you about. I know the big one that caught my attention was this poll that just came out saying, what was it, like over half of Britons favored at least doing something different with the drug policy?
Yep, over 53% of the public support changed the current drug policy. They don't see it's working, but David Cameron keeps enforcing the idea that Britain's drug policy is working, but there's not much evidence to support that yet. He won't even read the evidence to say that it isn't working. He even admits that.
Admits that he won't read any of the research.
Yeah, he said, right, I'll read it later. I'll tell you what I'm going to say now.
Wow, that's pretty that's pretty sad. All right, well, now, how does that break down demographically? I mean, do you get the youth supporting this more than the older people, I imagine?
I think it is. I think we haven't had it like it's too easy, but we haven't had it super hard. And I think this generation, like my age and a little bit younger, they're coming through and it is a little bit more socially acceptable because it's been in the magazines, it's been on TV, it's in the films a lot more. I'm looking at some of the films that I was watching 10 years ago, not really realizing how many like pot references there were in it. Yeah. So it's been normalized quite a lot more than I think people realize. And once this generation gets to say, well, in about 10 years, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more sort of the progress that we've seen over there in America. And I think it will be sort of my generation that are going to sort of pull it through and pick it up to that kind of speed because we're jealous. We want what you guys have got over there in certain states.
Absolutely. And we want to get it to you. One of the difficulties is, of course, the politicians are always behind the people on this. So while you got 53% of the public that are supporting these changes to drug policy, what do the MPs, what does Parliament think about this?
Over 50% of Conservatives support it. I think it's over 75% of MPs overall, which are members of Parliament, support a change to the government's current policy. So it's not like there isn't an overwhelming like crowd and evidence. It's like we've even got, I can't remember who it is, but it's not like the British Medical Association, but there's like certain departments that are starting to say, yeah, look, cannabis is starting to come into the mainstream with as a medical option. We need to start putting more research into that. I think it's come up in one of the top five new possible treatments for cancer research in the UK recently.
That's fantastic. Now, looking at the public now, there's a lot. One of the things that I see from time to time, I have Google News searches, right? So whenever the word marijuana appears, I find what those stories are and I bring them out on the news. But I also have a Google News search for cannabis, which is always fun because that brings me the UK and the Australian and the Indian and other countries that actually call it cannabis. It brings me your news headlines. And what was this? I saw something about a suicide over like, what was it? A small, tiny amount of cannabis.
Yeah, a 17-year-old boy killed himself over 50p worth of cannabis. He got caught smoking down in Newquay, which is in Cornwall, down on the southwest. It's a popular surfing spot in the UK. Weed in a surfing spot? Are you joking me? But he's been caught. It was his second time. This happened back in 2011. But because it was his second time, we have a system over here where it's like your first one, you get a warning. Second time, you get a fine, and the third time you go to court, they filed the paperwork incorrectly. He was only 17. It should have been filed dealt with completely differently. They dealt with him as an adult, and they put it in the wrong file, so it sent him to court. He had prospects of wanting to go to America, where obviously if you've got a any kind of drug record or, you know, conviction, you're not going to be able to let in, or the chances are a lot slimmer. The poor guy was—he wanted to go and do a year's worth of lacrosse training in America, and he didn't think he'd be able to do that. He thought it'd be a disappointment, and he ended up committing suicide. And it's just in the inquiry, the police errors haven't even been blamed for it yet. He was near his body. He was found with the court summons and a letter. Hmm. So,
wow, that is such a sad story, and there's no need for that. You bring up a good point, though, that a lot of people don't think about, is getting that drug conviction on your record and how that affects your international travel rights.
Especially at the age of 17. I mean, like, even if he had been doing something bad, I mean, 50 p's worth of cannabis, it's a tragedy. Mm. And even if someone is doing bad at 17, like at 27, they might want to go to America, and they might have been stopped because they made a wrong decision or did something in their past that someone was disagreed with.
Yeah, that's just sad. And there's another story that's pretty sad that I wanted to talk to you about, because it kind of illustrates one of the harms of prohibition. I just sent you the headline. It was from Manchester Evening News. Horror death of Hyde Mum, who drank cannabis fertilizer from a Sprite bottle. And the basic story of this is that there was this 23-year-old young woman named Sarah who was staying at a boyfriend's place, and he had a cannabis factory going. You know, he was growing plants in his house. And she grabbed a Sprite bottle that had some sort of fertilizer or something for the plants. It is very, very high alkaline, right? But when asked by the doctors what had gone on, she had to lie. She lied and said it was some sort of fish fertilizer, fish food or something. And so they're treating her for something that wasn't true, you know. And the effect here is that, you know, had it been legal, she could have said what it was that she drank, but she felt she had to lie about it to protect her boyfriend. She ended up dying this week. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and it's a highlight of the harm of prohibition. I mean, these, like, people do accidentally drink fertilizers and oils. I remember a story my mum telling me, one of her friends died when she was at school. She went in the shed and she just drank something, like, out of a Coke bottle, and just some kind of drinks bottle, and it was something that her dad had put in there, not labelled up, and she ended up dying. These things happen. We can't just highlight this has obviously been highlighted because it's cannabis. Mm-hmm. We had another one, a little boy, I think, drank some pH up or down, that was being used for a cannabis grow. You know, they are absolutely tragic, and they are things that can be prevented. But like you say, this one could have been prevented a lot easier had they actually been able to treat her properly, because she wouldn't have been able to tell the truth. Like, having to hide the fact just because it's cannabis would have, you know, they've got in trouble anyway, haven't they? And they've lost her.
Well, yeah, there's all sorts of charges pending on this case, and I'll update it if I get any new updates on it. Now, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we cover what's going on with you, because you've been so busy appearing with the Cannabis Social Club and Normal UK. So what's this about you being out at some debate?
Yeah, this one, back to the skunk. I spoke at a debate in London, I Am Hip Hop magazine. They did Skunk, Healing or Oppressing the Communities. And I had to handle some quite large reefer madness. And you wouldn't think, like, in ethnic and minority communities, and like the Jamaican and West Indian community, they think that skunk is genetically modified. Uh-huh. And they even went as far as saying that it has been put in their communities by the white imperial power structure to oppress the black community. And we were like, really? Like, it was strange, because they actually believe skunk is genetically modified and that it's been put there as a tool of oppression, like soldiers were doped up during Vietnam to stop them fighting, to pacify them as such.
God, it's frustrating, because they use the terms they use, they can use them in a slippery way. They can say that a certain cannabis is genetically modified, well, because it's been bred, right? I mean, it's no more genetically modified than a pug, right?
But they were saying, like, one of them, they said, you can't cook with skunk, but you can cook with weed. And what? I was just like, well, I cook with skunk every night. Like, I have, you know, I eat it for my condition. Like, sure. It's good for my gut. But I was like, there's not much point with cooking with weed because it doesn't do the same job. Like, they have to, like, my friend Ramon, he's a smart guy. He's a really good hash maker as well. Ganja John will vouch for that. But he pointed out, even though, like, the weaker weed that we smoke, that was genetics that were selected thousands of years ago and protected land races. Like, they were a certain strength. Now, yeah, we might be slightly stronger, and they might have, you know, selected certain strains that get you slightly stronger. And those communities might not be as used to it because they're not, you know, they can't tolerate it. Their endocannabinoid systems might react a little bit. It might react too strongly for their endocannabinoid system. I don't know. I'm not the scientist, but whatever it is, that it's a lot skunk or high grade is a lot stronger for them than weed, and it's caused a stir in the community. I raised the point that, like, Snoop Dogg and Be Real and all that, they, you know, they're smoking the dank, and they, you know, they don't really seem that oppressed.
Good point. Now, I'm sure you're doing a whole bunch of other stuff, appearing. Give us the rundown. Where are we going to be able to find you if we got some listeners in the UK that are paying attention?
I think I'm going to be the Milton Keynes meeting on the 9th. We're going to have a cannabis social club meeting there. So if you get on the UKCSC on Facebook, there'll be links on there to how to get to that. I can't quite remember the name of the venue. Tomorrow I'm going to be up in Liverpool on BBC3's Free Speech. That's going to be on TV at 8 o'clock. They're addressing the issue, addiction. Is it a criminal or is it a medical issue? So I'm looking forward to that one. They've put me down as a key guest, so hopefully we'll get my say.
Very good. Dabbing in Beatles land, huh?
Yeah, totally. We're all looking forward to that. And then, of course, I mentioned the normal conference. It's the normal UK's first conference and AGM in March on the 18th and 19th, and that's the Malcolm X birthday weekend, and we are actually having it at Malcolm X Community Centre in Bristol. So it's going to be a good one, and you know, reaching out to more communities as well.
What are some of the panels and events you'll have for that, or is that too soon? You're still building it.
We are actually having Howard Marks, Mr. Nice, is going to be giving he's given a talk, I can't remember how the word to say now.
Presentation.
He's given a presentation, that's it. And then he's also doing a performance one evening as well. So, like, including your ticket price, you get to go and see Mr. Nice, Howard Marks, on stage doing a special show specifically for Normal, which is, you can't really get much better than that for your first AGM and conference, can you?
No, you can't. That sounds great.
We've also got an ex-MI5 agent, Annie Machon. She's going to be speaking there as well about, like, obviously the harms of prohibition. She's obviously seen it from right down on the inside.
Very good. May I recommend Professor Stevens there from University of Kent?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we've managed to confirm him yet, but he's definitely been down on our list and contacted.
Excellent. That sounds so great. And again, keep us informed on what's happening with that. We'll promote it as best we can.
All right. Thanks very much, Russ. You're a massive inspiration to everything I've been doing. And I keep you in mind when I'm on there on those panels trying to keep a cool head.
Well, I don't always succeed either. Thanks so much, man. You have a good time and good luck with your conference.
Thanks very much. Peace out, guys. Bye.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome. as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
I wanted to follow up on a rant that I had done earlier on the percent of pain patients they might be in a state medical marijuana program, because one of the standard arguments for these kinder, gentler drug warriors is that medical marijuana is a fraud, well, until we put it into a pill. As if pain wasn't a legitimate enough reason to get medical marijuana, when in fact, it's the condition we have the most legitimate research for. It actually is. Go to PubMed sometime and type in cannabinoids space pain. And look at all of the articles you'll get back on that. It's just amazing, especially when we're talking about things like intractable neuropathic pain, that nerve pain that analgesics, opioids don't really seem to affect very well. Cannabinoids kick its ass. We got tons of research on pain, and we got tons of people in this country who are suffering from chronic pain. You don't think those Advil and Aleve and Tylenol commercials are on there just for information's sake? No, there's a demand for pain relief, and here we have a safe, non-toxic herbal remedy that would do just fine on it. But let's put that aside for a second. Let's talk about these Project Sam people, these Kevin Sabets of the world, who want to just cast aside pain as if it's no big deal. Check this example. This is from their website. This is from the Project Sam website. And the heading is, "Current medical marijuana programs are a joke, but no laughing matter." Here's some points for you. A 2011 study that examined 1,655 applicants in California who sought a physician's recommendation for medical marijuana found that very few had cancer, HIV/AIDS, glaucoma, or multiple sclerosis. The Colorado Department of Health found that only 2% of medical marijuana users reported cancer, and less than 1% reported HIV/AIDS as their reason for seeking marijuana. The vast majority, 94%, reported severe pain. In Oregon, there are reports that only 10 physicians made half of all recommendations for medical marijuana. Agitation, seizures, cancer, HIV/AIDS, cachexia, and glaucoma were the last 6 conditions cited for giving people medical marijuana. Here we have all 3 examples of demeaning a state medical marijuana program. First, we start with, all your medical marijuana are belong to California. They can't talk about medical marijuana without ascribing all the worst aspects of California to all the other states. Let me rephrase that. What they consider to be the worst aspects. I consider California to be legalization with a doctor's permission slip. But regardless, you'll hear lines like, well, walking into a pot doc and getting marijuana for a sore elbow, which in California is entirely possible. But in the other 17 medical marijuana states would be difficult to impossible. They always have to bring up California. Then there's that part about the 90% get it for pain, or over 90% get it for pain. And oh, the third one is over less than 5% get it for cancer or AIDS, right? This talking point conveniently leaves out the 16% who get it for spasticity and the 11% who get it for nausea. And did you notice that all adds up to more than 100%? Well, they hope you don't, because then you'll realize that patients can register for more than one condition. Do you think cancer might come with some pain? Perhaps multiple sclerosis is a little painful. Maybe a lot of those people with pain have conditions that even the doubters believe are legitimate uses of medical marijuana. So to debunk this line of reasoning, I've researched the medical marijuana program statistics from now 8 medical marijuana states. Some states, like California and Washington, have no state registry to research. Other states, like Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Delaware, are too new to get any statistics from. So I've collected statistics from Oregon, Montana, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Michigan, and Rhode Island that are either posted online or available through a public records request. Now, as I mentioned, Kevin Sabet doesn't want you to realize that patients can qualify for more than one condition. Let's take Oregon for an example. Oregon has about 55,000 patients, 54,589 patients. Now, of those 54,589, I'll zoom that a little bit so you can see better on the screen there. So 54,589 patients in the state of Oregon. But what he does in coming up with this number, the 94-95% get it for pain, is he takes the total number for pain patients and divides that by the total number of patients, which gives you that 51 and that 94% are getting it for pain. But what you don't, what he doesn't want you to know is that if you look at all the conditions and add those up, they come up to about 80,000 conditions, 79,966. Of which pain represents 64% of the conditions that people are using medical marijuana to treat. So it's not the 90%. Now, how many could it actually be? How many pain patients could there actually be? Because if there's almost 80,000 conditions and there's almost 55,000 patients, doesn't that tell us there's about 25,000 people that have to have two conditions or more, just mathematically speaking? Now, an interesting way to think about this is to take a look at whether someone is a pain patient. And I've kind of made this graph to visually explain it. We can take a look at all the pain patients, the 51,000 that registered for pain. But if we figure that spasticity, nausea, cancer, seizures, glaucoma, and AIDS patients all didn't have pain, well, that would be impossible, because you'd get a number bigger than 55,000, because the spasticity patients are at least 11,000. So what you end up with is this section here, possible pain-only patients, which would be at best, at the most it could possibly be, is if everybody that had some other condition didn't have pain, and then just a few of the spasticity and nausea patients had pain, the best you could come up with is about 40,000 that would have pain only. But what is the chances that someone has spasticity, nausea, cancer, glaucoma, seizures, and AIDS all at once? Probably not that great. For that, we take a look at the other possibility, the lower bound in this possibility. The least possible pain-only patients would be if everybody only had one condition and or pain. So by stacking those, the glaucoma, HIV, cancer, seizures, nausea, and spasticity patients, you'd be left with a much smaller number of possible pain-only patients, somewhere around 25,000. That's just the math, people. It can't work any way else. So putting this back into the spreadsheet, we find that for the state of Oregon, the least possible pain-only patients are about 48% of the patients. And the most possible pain-only patients are about 73%. So really, in actuality, when Kevin Sabet says it's 94% of the patients are getting it for pain, the real number is somewhere between half to three quarters, at least in the state of Oregon. We can look at other states. In the state of Colorado, where he gets his original statistic from, there's 101,000 pain patients out of 138,000 total patients, 138,000 total conditions, excuse me. So for out of conditions, pain represents 73%. But when we do the same kind of math, stacking up their various conditions, the range we get for possible pain only in Colorado is 66 to 84%, not the 94% Kevin Sabet likes to claim. Similar numbers bear fruit in Montana, where the range is 70% to 87%. In the state of Nevada, where the range is 43% to 73%. In the state of Michigan, where the range is 68% to 82%. In the state of Rhode Island, where the range is 6.4% possibly to 71%. And if we take those six states and combine all their statistics for everyone who is registered in those six states of Oregon, Colorado, Montana, Nevada, Michigan, and Rhode Island, 68% of the conditions being treated are pain, and the range is 62 to 81% that are getting it for pain only. Now, there are a couple of other states that provide some insight in this. New Mexico only keeps track of a single condition for which people qualify. And I've combined a lot of the conditions, by the way. In New Mexico, PTSD is one of the conditions that people can qualify for. And because of that, it's the largest number in this other category. 42% of the patients in New Mexico are getting medical marijuana for PTSD. Only 35% are getting it for pain. And in the state of Arizona, they keep track of a separate stat called two or more conditions. That shows 22% of their patients have two or more conditions. So the patients with pain only represent 70% or 71, if you want to round up, 71% of the conditions that can be of patients that are using it for pain only in the state of Arizona. So that talking point should be thoroughly debunked by now. Patients that have cancer, glaucoma, or HIV AIDS in Oregon represent 6.7% of all patients and 4.6% of all conditions as well. Now, the breakdown here is all available on RadicalRust.com. I just posted it today. And the other part that debunks this 90% of the patients are getting it for pain, in the Project Sam website, he'll point out the Oregon statistics and he'll point out the Colorado statistics. And it's, again, I've already pointed out how it's a dishonest math to take the number of pain patients and divide it by the total number of patients. But even if we go with Kevin Sabet's dishonest math and do it on the other states the way he does it, you get a number of 82% for Montana, 73% for Nevada, 72% for Rhode Island, 71% for Arizona, 63% for Michigan, and as we mentioned, 35% for New Mexico. So, Kevin Sabet, if you want to use that dishonest math like that, that's fine with me, but just use it for all of the math that you're going to do and point out that these other states, it's less than three quarters of the patients are getting it for pain only. Oh, Kevin Sabet. I had to focus my anger today somewhere, and I thought that would be the most constructive use of it. I'm coming for you, Kevin. You cannot hide. Hey, folks, that's all the time we've got for Hour 1 today. Join us for Toker Talk Radio in Hour 2. I got all sorts of interesting news stories that I held on to for Hour 2 because they just deserve a little more discussion. Coming up on Toker Talk Radio, a hash oil explosion in Forest Grove, Oregon. That's just down the highway from me, folks. You can bet what I have to say about that. Also, the advertising for marijuana sales in Colorado before it's actually legal. We'll talk about that and more in Toker Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you're planning, you're growing, you're trying, you're